Welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fundamental topics in the entire specification, cells. Whether you're sitting your GCSEs this summer or just getting started with your revision, this episode is going to give you everything you need to nail this topic in the exam. We'll cover the key concepts, walk through the exam technique, flag the most common mistakes candidates make, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. So grab a pen, find somewhere comfortable, and let's get into it. Before we start, here's why this topic matters so much. Cells are literally the foundation of all biology. Every other topic, from enzymes to genetics, from photosynthesis to the nervous system, connects back to cell structure and function. Examiners know this, and they love to set questions that link cells to other parts of the specification. So if you nail this topic, you're giving yourself a head start across the whole paper.
Right, let's get into the core concepts. The first big idea is the difference between eukaryotic and prokaryotic cells. This is a distinction that comes up again and again in exam questions, so let's make sure it's crystal clear. Eukaryotic cells are the cells found in animals, plants, and fungi. The key feature is that they have a true nucleus, a membrane-bound nucleus that contains the cell's DNA. They also have membrane-bound organelles, which are specialized structures inside the cell that carry out specific functions. Prokaryotic cells, on the other hand, are much simpler. Bacteria are the classic example. They have no true nucleus. Their DNA floats freely in the cytoplasm in a region called the nucleoid. They're also much smaller than eukaryotic cells. Typically, a prokaryotic cell is between 1 and 10 micrometers across, while a eukaryotic cell is between 10 and 100 micrometers. Here's a memory hook for you. Think of pro in prokaryotic as meaning before. Prokaryotes came before the more complex eukaryotes in evolutionary history. And EU in eukaryotic means true. They have a true nucleus. Now let's look at the specific structures inside cells and what they do. This is where a lot of marks are available because examiners love asking candidates to name a structure and explain its function. Starting with structures found in all cells, both animal and plant. The cell membrane is a thin, flexible layer that controls what enters and leaves the cell. It's selectively permeable, meaning it lets some substances through but not others. The cytoplasm is the jelly-like fluid that fills the cell and is where many chemical reactions take place. Ribosomes are tiny structures where protein synthesis happens, where proteins are made. And mitochondria are the organelles where aerobic respiration occurs. This is where most of the cell's ATP, its energy currency, is produced. Now, plant cells have some additional structures that animal cells don't have. The cell wall is a rigid layer outside the cell membrane made of cellulose, which provides support and prevents the cell from bursting. Chloroplasts are the organelles where photosynthesis takes place. They contain a green pigment called chlorophyll that absorbs light energy. And the permanent vacuole is a large, fluid-filled space in the center of the plant cell that helps maintain the cell's shape and stores cell sap. Here's a really useful way to remember the three structures unique to plant cells. Think of the acronym CVW, chloroplasts, vacuole, wall. Can vegetables wait? Chloroplasts, vacuole, wall. Bacterial cells are simpler still. They have a cell wall, a cell membrane, cytoplasm, and ribosomes, but no mitochondria, no chloroplasts, and no membrane-bound nucleus. Their genetic material is a single circular strand of DNA, and they may also have small rings of DNA called plasmids. Now let's talk about specialized cells. This is where the biology gets really interesting because cells don't just sit there looking the same, they become specialized for specific functions through a process called differentiation. A sperm cell is specialized for fertilization. It has a long tail called a flagellum for swimming, lots of mitochondria to provide energy for movement, and an acrosome at the tip that contains enzymes to break through the egg cell membrane. A red blood cell is specialized for carrying oxygen. It has no nucleus. This was lost during development to make more room for hemoglobin, the protein that carries oxygen. It also has a biconcave disc shape, which increases the surface area for oxygen absorption. A nerve cell or neuron is specialized for transmitting electrical signals. It has a very long axon to carry signals over long distances and branching dendrites at each end to connect with other nerve cells. A root hair cell in plants is specialized for absorbing water and minerals from the soil. It has a long, thin extension, the root hair, that increases the surface area for absorption. The key principle here is that the structure of a cell is always related to its function. When you see a question about a specialized cell, always ask yourself, what does this cell need to do? And how is its structure adapted to do that job? Now let's move on to the cell cycle and mitosis. This is a topic that higher tier candidates need to know in particular detail, but foundation candidates should understand the basics too. The cell cycle is the process by which cells grow and divide. It has two main stages, interphase and mitosis. During interphase, the cell grows and copies its DNA. This is the longest part of the cycle. The cell is preparing for division. Interphase is divided into three substages: G1, where the cell grows and produces more proteins and organelles; S phase, where the DNA is replicated, so there are two copies of every chromosome; and G2, where the cell continues to grow and prepares for division. Then comes mitosis, where the nucleus divides to produce two identical nuclei. Mitosis has four stages: prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. A great mnemonic for this is "posh men are tidy." Prophase, metaphase, anaphase, telophase. In prophase, the chromosomes condense and become visible, and the nuclear envelope breaks down. In metaphase, the chromosomes line up along the middle of the cell. In anaphase, the chromosomes are pulled apart to opposite ends of the cell. In telophase, new nuclear envelopes form around each set of chromosomes. Finally, the cytoplasm divides in a process called cytokinesis, producing two genetically identical daughter cells. Mitosis is used for growth, repair, and asexual reproduction. The key point is that the daughter cells are genetically identical to the parent cell. They have the same number of chromosomes and the same genetic information. This is different from meiosis, which produces gametes, sex cells. Meiosis produces four cells that are genetically different from each other and have half the number of chromosomes. We'll cover meiosis in more detail in the genetics topic, but it's important to know the difference. Now let's talk about stem cells, because this is a topic that examiners love, partly because it connects to ethics and real-world applications, which makes for great extended writing questions. Stem cells are undifferentiated cells, cells that haven't yet specialized. They have the ability to divide and differentiate into many different cell types. There are two main types you need to know about. Embryonic stem cells are found in early embryos. They are pluripotent, meaning they can differentiate into almost any cell type in the body. This makes them incredibly useful for medical research and potential treatments. Adult stem cells are found in specific tissues in the body, such as bone marrow. They are more limited. They can only differentiate into a smaller range of cell types. For example, stem cells in bone marrow can produce different types of blood cells. The medical applications of stem cells are significant. Stem cells could potentially be used to treat conditions like diabetes, Parkinson's disease, and spinal cord injuries by replacing damaged or lost cells. However, the use of embryonic stem cells raises ethical concerns because harvesting them destroys the embryo. Some people argue that an embryo has the same moral status as a person, and therefore this is unacceptable. Others argue that the potential to save lives outweighs this concern. In the exam, if you're asked to evaluate the use of stem cells, make sure you consider both sides, the potential benefits and the ethical concerns, and then make a judgment. That's what the command word evaluate requires. Now let's move on to microscopy, because this is a required practical topic and it comes up regularly in exams. Microscopes allow us to see cells that are too small to see with the naked eye. There are two main types you need to know: light microscopes and electron microscopes. Light microscopes use visible light and lenses to magnify objects. They can magnify up to about 1,500 times and have a resolution of about 200 nanometers. They can be used to view living cells and are relatively cheap and easy to use. Electron microscopes use beams of electrons instead of light. They have a much higher magnification, up to 500,000 times, and a much higher resolution, down to about 0.2 nanometers. This means they can show much finer detail, including the internal structure of organelles. However, they are expensive, large, and can only be used on dead, specially prepared specimens. There are two key calculations you need to be able to do with microscopy. The first is magnification. Magnification equals image size divided by actual size. The second is calculating actual size. Actual size equals image size divided by magnification. A common exam question will give you an image and ask you to calculate the actual size of a cell or organelle. Always convert your measurements to the same units before calculating, and always show you're working. Candidates frequently lose marks by not showing they're working or by getting their unit conversions wrong. Speaking of units, this is a really common source of errors. The units you need to know are millimeters, which are 10 to the power of negative 3 meters, micrometers, which are 10 to the power of negative 6 meters, and nanometers, which are 10 to the power of negative 9 meters. 1 millimeter equals 1,000 micrometers. 1 micrometer equals 1,000 nanometers. Make sure you're comfortable converting between these units. Now let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes candidates make. The number one mistake I see is confusing the structures unique to plant cells. Candidates often say that animal cells have a cell wall or forget to mention the vacuole. Remember, CVW, chloroplasts, vacuole, wall, are the three structures found in plant cells but not in animal cells. The second most common mistake is confusing mitosis and meiosis. Mitosis produces two identical cells used for growth and repair. Meiosis produces four genetically different cells used to make gametes. If you mix these up, you will lose marks every time. Third, when asked to explain something, candidates often just describe it instead. The command word explain requires you to say how or why something happens. Use the word because to force yourself to link cause and effect. For example, don't just say, red blood cells have no nucleus. Say, red blood cells have no nucleus, which means there is more space for hemoglobin, allowing them to carry more oxygen. Fourth, in calculation questions, always show you're working. Always include units and always check that your answer is a sensible size. A cell that's 50 meters across is clearly wrong. Check your unit conversions. Fifth, for 6-mark extended writing questions, plan your answer before you write it. Examiners are looking for a logical, well-structured response that covers multiple points. Use scientific terminology throughout. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, give you 5 seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. Name 3 structures found in plant cells but not in animal cells. 5 seconds. The answer is cell wall, chloroplasts, and permanent vacuole. Question 2. What is the function of mitochondria? 5 seconds. The answer is the site of aerobic respiration where ATP is produced. Question 3. What is the difference between a eukaryotic and a prokaryotic cell? 5 seconds. The answer is eukaryotic cells have a true membrane-bound nucleus. Prokaryotic cells do not. Their DNA floats freely in the cytoplasm. Question 4. What does the magnification formula look like? 5 seconds. The answer is magnification equals image size divided by actual size. Question 5. Name the 4 stages of mitosis in order. 5 seconds. The answer is prophase, metaphase, anaphase, telophase. Remember, posh men are tidy. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Right, let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points from this episode. 1. Eukaryotic cells have a true nucleus. Prokaryotic cells do not. Animal and plant cells are eukaryotic. Bacteria are prokaryotic. 2. The 3 structures unique to plant cells are the cell wall, chloroplasts, and permanent vacuole. Remember, CVW. 3. Cells become specialized through differentiation. The structure of a specialized cell always relates to its function. 4. The cell cycle consists of interphase, where DNA is copied, followed by mitosis, which produces 2 genetically identical daughter cells. 5. Stem cells are undifferentiated cells. Embryonic stem cells are pluripotent. Adult stem cells are more limited. Their use raises ethical questions. 6. Magnification equals image size divided by actual size. Watch your units. Convert everything to the same unit before calculating. 7. In the exam, read command words carefully. Describe means say what happens. Explain means say how or why. Evaluate means consider both sides and make a judgment. That's it for this episode. You've covered a huge amount of ground today. Cell structure, specialized cells, the cell cycle, stem cells, and microscopy. These are all high-value topics that come up regularly in GCSE biology exams, so the time you've invested today will pay off. Keep revising, keep testing yourself, and good luck in your exams. You've got this.